Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Tyson Alger of The Athletic covers the University of Oregon, joining us now. All right, true or false, Oregon will play all of its non-conference football games this season?
Oh, man, you're doing this to me right out of the gate here, John. Let's say true until I'm told otherwise, but I'm in the same position that I think a lot of people are right now, where it's just like, things are kind of progressing towards that in terms of like players coming back to campus and that sort of thing. But I'm seeing the same numbers everyone else is about the other states and spikes in numbers. And it just feels so rocky in terms of everything that we're projecting on right now that I wouldn't be surprised either way, you know?
Is it the worst thing if the Pac-12 or the SEC or the Big Ten just say, look, it's too dicey to play non-conference games. We can't control Portland State. We can't control North Dakota State. Let's just play our conference schedule. We know we all budget and we will all be forthcoming with each other when it comes to infections. We have a better chance of pulling this thing off if we just play in conference.
I'm 100% in favor of thinking that it. Having a group strategy is going to be the best way of getting through this for teams. And if that's the Pac-12 deciding that under the same rules and guys and leadership, that if they can control that environment far better by excluding those non-conference games, I think that's probably the best solution here. Just because it's such a segmented sport in terms of everyone can essentially kind of do what they want with all the various conferences and non-conferences and that sort of thing I think you probably have a better chance of survival of this season if you're able to narrow it down like that.
Are you surprised that college athletics feels so tenuous, like the house could fall if there's no football season? Tenuous?
No, not at all. I mean, like we've seen what college athletics has turned into over the last, multiple decades. It's just turned into a complete cash cow. It's so propped up on one sport, or I guess a little bit with two sports with men's basketball. But it would be one thing if like all of a sudden the NCAA's huge issues just like popped up during the pandemic. But there's so much stuff that we've been talking about for years and years and years, and then the pandemic is just kind of thrown it under like a microscope and put it into a pressure cooker, and that's where we're at now. But did anybody really think that the NCAA had the most like sustainable and perfect business model like prior to this thing? No, it was complete cash grab for people trying to make opportunities out of it, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
Tyson Alger of The Athletic. If with the NCAA basketball tournament getting canceled, it's a real shame that we didn't get to see Sabrina Ionescu and the Oregon Ducks women get to the Final Four and see what they could do. If there's not a college football season, where is the shame as you look nationally? What were you looking forward to?
Boy, if there's no college football, I just really wanted to see what Oregon would do this year essentially with it being entirely Chris Ball's team. I feel like last year there was still a little bit of that bridge between the Herbert and Troy Dye era and all this new talent that the Ducks have brought in over the last two or three seasons. And I just really felt like this was going to be like the first year where you were just like, man, this is the team that Mario Cristobal wanted. This is completely built in his kind of vision. And I thought Oregon was going to be, could be really good this year. I'm not going to say they're not going to play, but I was really looking forward to kind of starting a new chapter here and covering this team. And it's still kind of iffy at this point.
Oregon feels like if there is a season, I think they are well positioned to compete nationally. You're right. I want to see Ohio State at Autzen. Like, I can imagine it, right? I can almost feel being there. And even if there's not fans there, I'd like to see that football game happen. If college athletics has to take a mulligan, has to take a year off, and, you know, it doesn't start until the spring, or maybe even football being pushed back to the spring, would you support that, pushing the regular season back into March, even though it would compete with March Madness?
If we're not talking about like just the financials of it, because it might be a situation where if they don't have the football season at all, like, you know, it could completely collapse. But if we're just talking about like if I would be in favor of having football in March, like, I don't know. I feel like at that point, just like full on embrace the basketball season. I mean, if you're going to be playing football in February, March, April, like that's going to completely cannibalize the NCAA tournament experience. And that would be 2 years in a row for that basketball kind of gets the short end there. So I don't know. I'm by no means am I going to say at all that I don't want a football season. Like, I'll take it whenever they put it out there. But just in terms of like pure aesthetics of it, I think it would be a really tough watch having it in the spring as opposed to kind of just the traditions that everyone's kind of built around over the history of this sport here in the fall.
Tyson Alger of The Athletic is our guest. You've got sort of the infrastructure around some of these athletic departments starting to erode a little bit. UCLA's deal with Under Armour is under attack, and Cal's deal with Under Armour is under attack. I'm hearing more and more that Learfield and IMG, those deals may be maybe Learfield tries to unwind some of those. Those are large guarantees that they've made to universities that they may not be able to fulfill. You have gift giving and donations. How does this end, Tyson? When you look at college athletics, does the Pac-12 come out of this stronger than before, or how do you see that unfolding?
Stronger than before. I doubt that for the time being. I don't think anybody's going to be really coming out of this stronger than before, and that's from the Pac-12 to the SEC to everyone else. I mean, this is a seismic thing that's going on right now, but specifically in the Pac-12, you had a great column this morning kind of diving into the way that trickling money issue from the shoe companies could become a huge thing here. And I guess the only fortunate thing for Oregon is at least they are relatively close with the top guy at Nike. So that might be at least sustainable for them going forward. But I mean, yeah, there's just a lot of big money issues floating around, John. And fortunately, I'm not the one paid to figure that stuff out, because it's going to be, I mean, it could look completely different 6 months from now, not to mention if you were to even just project 5 years out from now. And that's just all stuff that's changed within the matter of the last 4 months or so.
Tyson Alger of The Athletic is our guest. The player that you think can take a big step forward on the field at Oregon, fill in the blank, who is that?
Kayvon Thibodeau, which is kind of crazy because he had 9 sacks as a freshman last year, the true freshman defensive lineman. But, I mean, just this kid is one of the most talented players I think Oregon's ever brought in within its system. You saw the way that after 3 games last year, he had no sacks and he finished with 9, so that's basically a sack a game over Oregon's last 9 games. I think he's going to be one of the best defensive players in the country this year. I think he's going to be throwing his name into a top 5 draft pick for the year after that. I think everyone is going to know the name Kayvon Thibodeau by the end of this season, if it happens.
Tyson, as you sort of look at Mario Cristobal and what he's built at Oregon, is it built to be sustainable? Is it built for right now? Where do you see sort of the trajectory of his program? Do you think because he's already been a head coach somewhere else at a small college that he sort of appreciates more where he is? You spend time around Cristobal. What do you think?
I think they're very happy with where they're at right now. I know there's I don't think anything we've seen is really a smokescreen at this point in terms of like the enthusiasm and how much not only Cristobal but his staff have kind of like embraced Eugene and the community there. But I think more than anything is they just know right now they're in a position where they can build a consistent winner that not only win right now, but I think they're still going to be peaking in terms of the level of talent they're bringing in right now. So, yeah, maybe down the road, like an absolute dream job gets floated in front of them. I mean, like who in the country would turn down, you know, to be the next person to to take the reins at Alabama. But right now, Chris Paul's in a position where he can compete to win a conference title every year in the Pac-12, which will put him in a playoff position, and he's continuing to bring this level of talent into Eugene. They have a pretty good situation right now, and I don't think anybody would be looking to leave that at this point.
Tyson Alger of The Athletic, before I cut you loose, the quarterback situation, it's the one real wild card. I think Oregon's defense will be good. I think that their offensive line is going to be built to run the ball. What about Tyler Shuck? Can he make enough plays as the quarterback to make Oregon a contender if we have a season?
Everything we've seen from him says yes. I mean, and it's such a small sample size, so it's hard to project this out. I mean, you know, we were all trying to do the same thing after Marcus left in 2014, and there were definitely some stories written about how, like, Jeff Locke or Taylor Alley could potentially be the next guy, and obviously that wasn't the case. But I don't think Tyler Shuck is a Jeff Locke. I don't think he's a Taylor Alley. I think he's a very talented player who has put himself in a position to be that next guy. Obviously not having this spring to be able to see his progression doesn't help. But, you know, if people are wondering, like, how he's going to compare to, like, Anthony Brown, who's coming in from the Boston College transfer, I think the fact that they didn't have a spring and they haven't been able to gather as throughout the summer, I think that means Shuck's obviously going to be the front runner going into this fall. And his teammates really like him. They're really high on him. They've been working out, you know, with some of those receivers. He's been throwing to them for about 2 years now, so there's chemistry there. So, I mean, if he's at least good, I don't think the Ducks need him to be great or even excellent, but if he's at least good, this Oregon team can really go, and I think he might have a higher ceiling than good.
Tyson Alger of The Athletic. Hey, I appreciate your time, man. Stay safe.
Hey, John, it was good talking to you. Thanks, man.
You too, buddy. There's Tyson. He's a good follow. Make sure you're reading him. You want to know what's going on with the Ducks. Here's the thing. I really am leaning more and more as I see University of Arizona saying, look, we've had positive tests. We don't think that this is something we should continue. So they've sent athletes home from voluntary workouts. University of Houston, meanwhile, today indicating that it was originally planning to bring students back to campus on July 6th. It is now saying that is not going to happen. They're going to have to wait longer. Starts and stops, dead ends, speed bumps. Okay. Those are what we're facing as college football tries to get back. I think it's hard enough to control your own conference. You throw in the non-conference opponents. I'm not optimistic that that can be pulled off. I don't know if you could trust them. You got the bald-faced truth. Our big splash is coming up. Every day on the program, we give you our big splash. It is the one thing you need to know in sports.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash.
Well, the Denver Nuggets have closed their facility, their team practice facility, because of coronavirus. Nuggets closed the facility starting Saturday. They've had positive rounds of tests. They had two members of the team's Orlando traveling party initially test positive before the shutdown. There's been at least one more positive test since last weekend. You also have Nikola Jokic, who has tested positive for coronavirus previously. He was in Serbia when he tested positive. The Nuggets are the third seed in the Western Conference. I'm just not feeling this NBA bubble in Orlando. And I know the players are trying to be optimistic. They're trying to do the right thing. Most of them agreeing to go play, stay under contract, having faith that the league's going to keep them safe. But the Denver Nuggets were unable to keep their practice facilities safe. Meanwhile, University of Arizona has told athletes there that were voluntarily coming back to campus that will now be closed for the foreseeable future. And the University of Houston, which had been closed and was rumored to be reopening on July 6th, has shot down that report, saying there is no plan right now to reopen on July the 6th. I think we are headed toward a situation in sports where you're going to have false starts, You're going to have dead ends. You're going to have speed bumps. I've said it before, and we are seeing those things play out. I'm not feeling the bubble in Orlando. I'm not feeling the return of Major League Baseball. I think you can try it, and I'll watch it. But given what we're seeing right now, are you betting on the NBA being able to finish that tournament? I'm not, and that's the big splash and the one thing that you need to know. Guys, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we got Dan Dickow. We're also going to talk about Captain Crunch. Do you eat Captain Crunch? You a believer in that?
This is one of my favorite childhood cereals, and I'm already digging in my heels on what we're about to argue on.
Okay, it's not really an argument, but it's, you know, first of all, I love Captain Crunch. I loved it because my parents, you know, it was granola, and it was grape nuts, and it was Kix for a while. My mom went through that phase, and then she would relent and let us get something like Trix or Captain Crunch. But Captain Crunch, man, first of all, would tear up the roof of your mouth. Am I right? It's like razor blades in a box.
That's
right.
Yep.
Okay.
Delicious,
did you guys ever,
though. Worth it.
I saw this on TikTok. Somebody was folding up the box, and I looked at the cover of Captain Crunch, and they pointed out that it doesn't actually say Captain Crunch on the box. It says Cap apostrophe N Crunch. Cap'n Crunch. Did you guys know that?
Yeah. Like, I knew that that's what it was printed on the box.
If you Google Captain Crunch, it doesn't exist. Captain Crunch does not exist. It's Cap'n Crunch. That's your cereal.
CaptainCrunch.com, and it redirects to CapnCrunch.com. So yeah, you're right. It's just Cap with the letter N Crunch.com. It's not Cap'n, but we all know what Cap'n stands for. It's the cap. Look, it's literally the mascot is a captain. It's not a cap'n. He's a captain.
What if there's Cap and Crunch?
No, but we're in a situation like we were in.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.